It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We need you. We need the fans. We need the Auburn family. We need the staff. We need the players. We need everyone in this building that is involved in our program to buy into our core values to drive this train.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in, I believe.
Ball pass, front court, Brian Smith, baseline, eight-footer, in and out, no good. Oh, my goodness, they put it down by Porter. Oh, my goodness. Hello, Abbeville, Alabama, a one-handed slam.
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac. Go crazy. Touchdown.
Reach it down, he knocked it away. Ball loose on the deck. Throws it back out. Harper gets it. Harper down the floor. Harper shovels it to Brown for three. Yeah!
I tell you, you ain't going to run to get any popcorn if we keep this up.
I knew we could be competitive in men's basketball at Auburn. I didn't think that championships were necessarily in the cards. Auburn's a special place. I had a special team.
Bryce eyes the bucket, spins it up. In and out, no. Rebound, Washington saved it. But Brown is there for three and a quarter. Yeah, baby!
All right.
Auburn leads.
Get back, play some defense now.
We've come a long way. And just grateful for the opportunity. Understand that if it wasn't for Auburn bringing me to be their basketball coach, I never would have the opportunity to realize, obviously, one of my goals as a college coach is to get to the Final Four.
That does it. History has been made. The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
All right, welcome into the show, everybody. Doug Holton with you for the next hour. So glad you're with us, hanging out for the next hour, talking some Auburn athletics, and lots to talk about. The tournament is underway. March Madness is here, and we're going to talk about that a lot tonight with Zepp Jasper and Kevin Fichtner on the phone and talking some college basketball. The Auburn Tigers taking on Yale tomorrow, Friday at 2:45, the pregame here on FM Talk 106.5. And the tip-off is scheduled to be about 3:15 Central. So we'll have it all for you right here on FM Talk 106.5. We're also going to talk some college football tonight. Hugh Freeze at the mic this week as the Tigers are at about the midway point of spring practice. So we'll hear from Coach Freeze, and we'll talk some college football later in the show tonight with Stu Donald. Get his thoughts on what is the most interesting at this point in Auburn spring football. A-Day coming up again on April the 6th this year on Saturday. We're also going to hear in a couple of minutes from a guy from Mobile, from Baker High School, Bryce Kane, who is making some noise at wide receiver or slot receiver for the Auburn Tigers in spring practice. So stay tuned for all of that. Let's kick it off with topic number one, Auburn basketball. SEC tournament champions didn't get the seeding probably that they wanted in the SEC tournament. We'll chat about that in a little bit with Zepp Jasper. But a number four seed in Spokane, Washington, and taking on Yale from the Ivy League, a team that has been in the tournament a little bit and had some success, although they had to beat Brown, I think it was, in the Ivy League tournament in a buzzer beater to actually get into the NCAA tournament and March Madness this year. But Coach Pearl talked about Yale a little bit, the Tigers' opponent, before Auburn left for the West Coast earlier this week.
So this has been a team that's been in a tournament, I think, three times since 2016, this coaching staff. This is a really good team, a really good program, and they've got a really good history of first-round upsets. Why is that?
because they play the right way, because they play hard, they play physically, they're from the Ivy League, so they're smart. You know, it's they'll run great stuff. They got great three-point shooters. They got a 7 foot, 7'1", you know, pro that's probably going to be more of an international pro, but there are people talking about it potentially in the NBA. So it's they've got some really good pieces. So we've got that.
All right, so we'll have some more basketball conversation in just a minute. Again, Zepp Jasper, former Auburn Tiger, and Kevin Faechner joining us to do that here on the show tonight, Tiger Talk Overtime. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk some college football as well. We want to hear a little bit from Coach Freeze right now about this spring practice and what he's seeing on the field after spring break. The Tigers had a couple of practices before spring break, and now they're back with a few more since then. And he was asked the question this week, also at his press conferences, what is catching his eye so far this spring?
Well, I love the 24 class. I really do. I think, man, Amaris flashes, Waller flashes, Blockton flashes on the defensive front, all of those guys, those linebackers, Riddick and DJ, and we've moved Joe Phillips to Buck now, and I think that's more of a natural position for him. So of those front guys, all of them are kind of flashing at times, and they're throwing them in there some with the ones, and not that there are any ones right now. It's just, you know, we're playing, we just kind of rotate those guys around, and I think there's a I think we've got some really good players there that in time are going to be really good in this league. Offensively, Cam Coleman continues to show up. And I think Camden Brown and Sam Jackson and Robert Lewis have improved that room along with the ones that we have currently. So several are starting to flash. The secondary guys that we signed last year, many of them, whether it's Tyler Scott, we know Ken Lee's, you know, played a lot of ball already for us, but and Colton Hood is really showing up also. Sylvester Smith, so we're excited about, you know, those young guys.
All right, so interesting comments from Coach Hugh Freeze this week. The Tigers continue spring practice, and one of those guys in the class of 24 who is already on campus at Auburn is from Mobile and Baker High School, and he is making some noise up there. Bryce Kane, the wide receiver and probably a slot guy, almost certainly a slot guy at Auburn, with his size and with his speed. That's the one thing you hear about Bryce Kane when you talk to people about spring practice is his speed. He can absolutely fly. And he was on the On to Victory podcast this week with our friend Jason Campbell, talking about Auburn and how he got to Auburn. And Jason asked him about his background, and Bryce was telling him that he has only played football for a couple of years, and before that, baseball was his number one sport, and he was a center fielder.
I only been playing football for 2 years. I've been playing baseball my whole life. Okay. So it's been a little difficult kind of adjustment from baseball to football. But it's been going great, though. Auburn was just like, I wanted to come here, like, ever since I was little. And this was my dream school. And it's a blessing to be offered by this school. And I just committed in June 3rd. And I just knew I wanted to come here. It just felt like home and where I needed to be. And I know these coaches can get me to the next level.
And so Bryce Kane talking about the reason that he came to Auburn, and he also talked about the very well-documented wide receiver class that Coach Hugh Freeze and the Tigers and Marcus Davis brought in this year. Cam Coleman, everybody likes to talk about him, and Perry Thompson from Foley also. I think Bryce Kane is close with both of those guys, and they have some definite plans for the future, the very near future in Auburn football.
So me, Perry, and Cam, we're going to be dominant. We got two big outside receivers, Cam and Perry. They're just they like that, and you got me in the slot. So if you can't guard them, then I don't know what to tell you. But they got amazing catching. They got everything, and that's all we need is just knowing what to do and catching the ball and going to score a touchdown. But I think we're going to be, like, really dominant. And coming in as a group, it just shows that we want to be here and we want to win this national championship for Auburn.
Great to hear. Bryce Kane from Baker High School and doing his thing at Auburn early in spring practice this year, getting a head start. The class of 2024 will make an impact on Auburn football. And believe me, a lot of Auburn fans are listening to what he had to say, and they would dearly love to pull in a national championship in the near future, at least in the years that those guys are on the plains. But I think the future is bright. All right, that's some Auburn football for you. We'll talk about that a little bit later, as I mentioned, with Stu Donald. And on the way next, we are going to talk college basketball. It is March Madness time. It is Auburn basketball time. The Tigers have a real chance, I think, to get to the Elite Eight, maybe to the Final Four, maybe win it all, as Chad Baker Mazzara told us a couple of weeks ago. We'll talk to Zepp Jasper, former Auburn Tiger, and Kevin Fichtner in Auburn when we come back. Stay with us here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Time to talk some Auburn basketball. And joining us to do that, Kevin Fichtner from Auburn and former Auburn Tiger Zepp Jasper. Guys, thanks for joining us this evening. And the Tigers are off to Spokane, Washington for the NCAA tournament. Zepp, again, thanks for joining us. What were your thoughts about what happened to the Tigers in the NCAA tournament as far as their seeding and where they went to?
I actually think the 4 seed was a great spot to get in. I know a lot of people I seen on Twitter thought it was just a horrible take of getting a 4 seed, especially with us being ranked number 7 in the AP poll and, you know, other little polls. We was like number 4 to offense and 7 in defense or something like that. But I think it was a good draw. Coming out, you get a Yale team. You win. You get a team by the San Diego State and UAB, which we're familiar with UAB. San Diego State, it's a great team, went last year, but they do not have the same team from last year. So I think we can win that field for sure. And then we run into UConn, which that's the thing everybody's been talking about. UConn is the fan favorite right now. They're the team that everyone is picking, the team that's hot. They got players 1 through 5. But I think it's one of those games that you beat UConn, you got the confidence, you got everything rolling. Because like I said, I think UConn and Houston are the teams to beat in March Madness. Like everyone knows, like those are the two teams that everyone wants to beat. So if we can beat UConn and we get past UConn, they better get ready for them Auburn Tigers, because they are coming if we beat UConn. I believe we can beat UConn. UConn got a great coach, great track record, but I think we can beat UConn. We beat them. I think we'll win a national championship. We beat UConn.
Now, who was your coach in college again, Zepp?
Bruce Pearl.
Didn't he tell you just to take him one game at a time?
He told you to take him one game at a time.
I'm just kidding with you. But you're already to UConn, and we have to play them in Boston, right?
Oh, yeah, we have to play them in Boston. But 2 years ago, we were 2 seed. We lost to a 9th seed Miami. You know, it don't matter about the seeding. It don't matter who you got. It's March Madness. So it'll be one of those things that, you know, you got to come to play each and every night in March Madness.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, what'd you think about all that, going to Spokane and taking on Yale and actually Auburn, UAB, and Alabama out in the same spot on the West Coast.
Yeah, I think the NCAA committee kind of, you know, punished us for getting Birmingham last year. Bama and Auburn got Birmingham, got to play in Birmingham last year. This year we're going out far west as we could out in Spokane. Zepp took the high road a minute ago. I was pretty upset that it didn't seem like, you know, we got rewarded for winning the SEC tournament. It seemed like our seed was predetermined before we won those games, you know, and won the championship. I thought for sure we would have been a better four seed or maybe even a three seed. But, you know, the committee did their thing. We're going to be in Spokane. We're going to play who we play. The committee's always funny. They always find a way to have a someone who formerly played there or someone, a coach who played there. Well, Chad Baker Mazzara played at San Diego State a few years ago. Well, if we win our first round game and they do, he'll get to play his former team. So I don't know if any of those guys are still around, but I think their coach is still there. So he might have some insight to help the other coaches as they pregame for that one. But, you know, we're top 10 defense, top 10 offense. I'm looking forward to what we can do in Spokane. And, you know, Yale is up first. They got a seven-footer. They got five guys, all five starters, average double figures. But we're deep. Question is, are they deep? We'll find out.
Yeah. Let's go back to that. I'll tell you what my thinking was as far as the tournament committee. You had Tennessee obviously won the regular season by a game over four other teams, Auburn being one of those. And then Auburn goes to Nashville and wins the SEC tournament. Tennessee gets kicked out early, as does Alabama. And so
and Kentucky.
Yeah. And Kentucky, the three seed. So how do you, if Auburn loses or finishes second in the regular season by one game, they played Tennessee a competitive game on their court in Knoxville, and then they come and to Nashville and win the SEC tournament. How does Tennessee get a two seed a couple hours from their university in Charlotte, and Auburn gets a four seed? It may have worked out, Zep, but a four seed in Spokane, Washington. That's kind of an odd situation there to me.
It's like I said a minute ago, real quick. I'll let Zep talk in a second, but I don't think they rewarded us. They don't. I hate to say it, but they might have had their seeds predetermined before we won the SEC tournament. It just didn't seem like we got rewarded for winning the SEC tournament. So go ahead, Zep.
I kind of think we didn't get rewarded at the same time, but I guess they looked at it as like, you know, Auburn lost, you know, to Kentucky and Tennessee, which we did. So I guess they had to, I guess they using this logic of, you know, Kentucky beat Tennessee, you know, so Kentucky's going to get a three seed, and Tennessee hasn't been outside the top 10 all year, if I'm not mistaken. They probably went to like number nine, but they haven't been outside the rankings of top 10 all year. And, but they have had a couple screw up games, a couple losses.
Two in a row.
So, you know, I feel like we should have been, you know, a two or three seed also. But like I say, things work in different ways. And like I say, if we can win those first two games and get out that region and run up into a hot UConn team and beat them, then that's when the steak will really be sizzling. Auburn will really be hot.
Yeah.
Getting that Sweet 16, we're a scary team to play.
And I think I mentioned this before when we were talking, but Coach Pearl, since he's been at Auburn, has done some outstanding things, no question about it. SEC championships, tournament championships, but only to the Sweet 16 one time since he's been there. So that would be a big step for Auburn to get past that first weekend.
It'd be a very big step because the past 2 years, been round of 32, you know, for both the teams I played for. So, you know, just to see them make that jump to at least get to the Sweet 16 will be awesome, because the pressure will kind of go off the team because they still feel like they know some of the players from last year and 2 years ago know with us going to a round of 32 each year these past 2 years, that if we can get past this, we take some of the pressure off us like in playing. But as in the players, they know what they got to do. They know what type of game they have to come and play. They know Yale is coming to play, and they know Yale is coming to win.
Kevin, I know we talked a little bit at lunch the other day, but Tell us a little bit of your thoughts on the tournament. Zepp gave us kind of his summation there. Outside of Auburn and our little bracket there, what are you thinking as far as the NCAA tournament?
It's March Madness. I mean, the last few years, you just don't know. I mean, last year we had San Diego State, UConn, Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. No one had those, you know. There's always going to be upsets. There's teams out there that have senior-laden guards, senior players. Those are the ones that are very, you know, can very well pull an upset because of the chemistry they have. You know, Houston, like Zepp said, is going to be good. North Carolina seems to have an okay path. Purdue is, you know, one of the best teams in the country, but they have not done well the last 2 years also in March Madness. I don't know if it's a matchup thing or what, but I mean, it's wide open. That's why I think someone like an Auburn or you know, even a higher seed has a chance to at least get to the Final Four because that's been happening the last few years.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think this is going to be, I was telling somebody the other day, I think this is going to be one of the wildest tournaments that we can remember. They were asking me to help them fill out their bracket. And I said, do you have a coin? You know, a lot of these games are going to be toss-ups when you get certainly to the round of 32 or 16. But Zepp, I wanted to get back to Coach Pearl a little bit and the guys that he brought in this year. And he's talked about it over and over again. We've talked about it. Chemistry on this ball club. He seems really proud of what he has done this year, what the team has done this year, how they have come together, how they like each other, just the process of how he put this team together. And it just seems to me like that's going to be a key factor. You know, the depth, the shooting, and Chad Baker Mazzara mentioned it when we talked a week or two ago, that he thinks this team has a legitimate chance to win it all this year.
They have a legitimate chance to win it all because they're unselfish. They play as a team, they play as a whole. Those guys like to play for each other. Those guys like to win. It's no one-man show, even though Jani Broome's the best player on the court each and every night. He understands that, you know, without his teammates, it won't be no Auburn's number seven. You know, guys like Denver Jones, Shaney Johnson, those guys have stepped up those past couple of weeks. I remember us talking about the Mississippi State game and was talking about how can guys step up. Ever since that game, ever since we talked about that, those guys' number percentage, three-point percentage, free throw percentage, two-point percentage, it all has risen and went up. You know, each game, their confidence have leveled up. I don't know what happened, but I think maybe somebody put something in the Powerade that gave him some different type of energy boost. But those guys been playing super, super well. And that's been the main reason on why our success has been our success over these past couple of weeks. I just see one of those guys being the reason why we can get to the Final Four. Those key guys, those X factors are the reasons why we're going to win.
All right, talking basketball here on a Thursday night, Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us. As you heard, Zepp Jasper is hanging out with us, as well as Kevin Fichtner from the Plains. And we're going to talk some more Auburn-Yale, Auburn-San Diego State, UAB, all about March Madness coming up in the next segment, and also some college football coming your way a bit later on in the show as spring practice is about at the midway point on the Plains. So we'll talk, hear from Coach Freeze, and we'll talk a little bit to Stu Donald about spring practice. But we'll continue this conversation with Zepp Jasper and Kevin Fichtner on the way back. College basketball takes the forefront this evening as March Madness is underway, and we'll be back with more Tiger Talk Overtime in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
I thought this was a good team that had a chance to be very good. We all talked about that we thought we would be a team that would shot it better than the year before. We talked about whether or not this team was going to be able to defend and be physical enough. And I think if you would look at, we're right about the shooting, and we became a better defensive team, and we became physical enough to be able to compete. And so I think this team made a lot of progress. I think this coaching staff, my staff, did an outstanding job with player development, and I think the guys did a great job all year long of being unselfish and all being patient and all accepting less individually so that we as a team could achieve more.
And the thoughts of Coach Bruce Pearl there this week at the microphone before the Tigers left for Spokane, Washington, and the NCAA tournament, and really a perfect segue there as we continue our conversation with Kevin Fichtner from Auburn and Zepp Jasper joining us from the Eastern time zone in Georgia. Great to have you guys with us. And Zepp, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned before the break about the X factor. And one of the guys, it seems to me, that has provided that for the Auburn Tigers this year doesn't get a lot of airtime, doesn't get a lot of credit. But in the SEC tournament, Chris Moore stepped up and gave this team a pep talk when they needed it. And he has been a guy that has really come in and played his role and played very well in the last week or two. And I think he's had a great influence on this ball club this year.
You know, it's just been, I'm going to use one word, perseverance. It's been crazy because, you know, Chris went 3-4 games without playing when Leo took his, you know, took his minutes. And when Leo went down, he didn't hang his head down. You know, he stood up and, you know, clapped for his teammates. Even when he wasn't playing, you know, he was successful because he wanted the team to win. He didn't just say, okay, I'm not playing. I'm just going to go out here and just have an attitude. He wanted the team to win. And what I seen in that SEC tournament, I was super proud of him because he really showed that word perseverance, and he showed that he was ready for the moment. He showed people, he showed the fans that, you know, even though I've been seeing everything y'all been saying about me, I'm still going to go out here and show up for my team and play as hard as I can. And he did that. He had key moments in each game, you know, in the SEC tournament. He gave energy. He got rebounds. He got second chance points. He just did all the little things for the team. And, you know, I just really, really am proud of him for that.
Yeah, he's played a big role in the last few games for sure. Kevin, what did you think of Jani Broom this week, third team consensus All-American? He certainly had a great season. And I guess the coaching staff and the people at Auburn have to figure out whether to retire that number now, huh?
He's our guy right now. Like Zepp said, he's going to be one of the best players on the court each night. You know, I still would like him to go in a little bit more. He's getting comfortable shooting those threes, and I know some of them go in, but I would like to see him keep going down. But we talked about this the other day when we had lunch, is he's such a good distributor of the ball too. He got a ball against Florida in the championship game. Chad Baker went around for a screen and did a little bounce pass, dunked to him. He's a good facilitator of the ball too, but he knows how to use his weight, his body. He can get shots off. He's physical. You know, he's going to have to get a little bit better also shooting free throws too. His free throw percentage is not the greatest, but because he gets to the line, because he gets fouled, because he plays down low. But, you know, he's our guy. A lot of things run through him in our offense, and you got to just keep feeding him, especially crunch time, especially in this tournament when games are a little bit tighter. I think you need to keep feeding your best player. Make sure he gets touches.
Zepp, they've got a big seven-footer, as I mentioned before we were talking. I think Danny Wolf is his name, is Yale's best player. I guess he matches up against Jani a little bit in this ball game. What do you think of that matchup? He seems to be a guy that goes out on the 3-point line a little bit as well. And I think Yale plays a little bit of, you know, at least 4 out, maybe some 5 out, that they do. A lot of the teams do in the Ivy League.
Well, that matchup, I hate to say it, but this ain't the Ivy League no more. we're going into pounding. Jani Broom is one of those guys that he's going to hit you in the chest. BP is going to get that ball in and, you know, just to see what type of player he is. Can he guard? Can he really guard a guy who really is a back down type of big man with an old school type game? I don't think he's seen a Jani Broom yet this year. So I'll be looking forward to see what this guy can do. How can he defend? What he's going to play like when people are in his chest. Because Auburn, they're a defensive team, They're going to go out, guard you. So what can he do without the three-point shot? You know, it's not a lot of big men who shoot threes, but like I said, Auburn guards you in your chest each and every time from one through five. And you have guys like Dylan Caldwell who physical coming off the bench. So it's going to be one of those games that's going to be pretty tough for him. No matter what type of player he is, we got guys to throw at him.
Yeah, they lost by 15 to Gonzaga and Kansas in their two big games this year. And their other two guards that are probably their second and third best players are 6'4 and 6'6. And one guy, Mahoney, shoots about 46% from three. Of course, as you mentioned, that's not against SEC-type talent. But the big guard situation, is that what kind of situation or problem does that present for the Auburn guards as far as defense?
I really don't think it interfere with Auburn guards on defense because, like I said, we're quick, we're fast. We're the SEC. We're one of those teams that's going to pressure the ball no matter we're playing bad or good. That's our strength. That's why we're top 10 in defense and offense because we need that defense to get us flowing. As long as we have that defense flowing, we're good. As we all know, that game we played Mississippi State in the SEC Championship, it wasn't a good first half. If we go back and look at it, the offense wasn't super good, but we hit our defense was we held them to a certain amount of points that led us into beating them. Coming second half, we end up playing a little bit more better defense and end up, you know, getting the lead up by 10, which they brought the lead down by one. But that defense was awesome. Tolu Smith, he usually one of those guys that can pound it and go in, and he's strong, physical, but he struggled. Jannai Brown really, you know, I hang his hat out to him because he really didn't let him do anything.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe they might put Chad Baker Mazzara on maybe the three-point shooter with the long arms and let him create some problems there. Kevin, I know you got a question or two for Zepp.
Yeah, Zepp, tell us where you're headed here in a couple of weeks to play some ball.
I'll be heading to Venezuela 2 or 3 weeks to play in one of the top leagues there. And, you know, pretty excited to, you know, get going, you know, start my professional career. You know, a lot of great guys from G League to coming from other overseas teams will be in Venezuela. I think it'd be a very good league to start my pro career.
Now, what's that league going to look like? Is it a 2-month, 3-month type league, or is it going?
It's like a 3 to 4 month type league. So I leave in April, get back in June, not June, but July, August. So that'd be pretty interesting. You know, try to win a championship and be just like the Tigers.
And how did you get hooked up there, Zepp?
My agent contacted me, showed me the contract, showed me the type of style of basketball and players that went through there. And I told him it was a no-brainer. I seen it was a top league. I have guys reach out to me on Instagram and how they'll be going there and they're in the G League. So I told him we got to take this deal.
Any guys down there that you know that are playing already?
Not that I know of right now, but it's some guys coming that's pretty legit.
Gotcha. All right, guys, we appreciate you joining us. Give us your pick, Kevin, on this weekend. What happens? Do the Tigers get to the 16? I think I know your answer, and you can go a little further if you want to into Boston land.
Yeah, yes, sir. I'm thinking we get double-digit win against Yale. Then we play San Diego State and beat them by 15. And then we head to Boston and play UConn. And, you know, maybe we'll talk again before next week and I'll give my prediction on that one. But obviously I'm thinking Auburn beats UConn, but we'll take it game by game until then.
Yeah. And Zepp, I know Coach Pearl mentioned in his press conference this week, what does Auburn do after they win two games in Spokane, Washington? Do they come home? Do they fly straight to Boston? That creates a little bit of a predicament there. But and also, does Chad Baker Mazzara playing for San Diego State? Does that help us in round two? Do you think?
It kind of help us because he might know a little bit of the secrets. He might know a little bit about what those guys do, how they watch film, how, you know, just their tendencies. You know, like I know BP's tendencies and what he's gonna do and how he's going to do things. So That could give us a little bit of hint if San Diego State wins. But I know Chad Baker-Mazzara, he's rooting for San Diego State, because who wouldn't want to play their old team? Who wouldn't want to beat their old team? So I know he's hoping that he gets to play their old team, especially go against the old coach. I think we'll win by 20 against Yale. I think we'll win by 15 to 20 against San Diego State. And we'll go against the big dog, and hopefully we talk again and I get on next week and we'll talk about UConn.
There you go. That would be fun to do. Guys, appreciate it. Game time tomorrow, 3:15 Central Time, 4:15 your time, Zep. So we'll be watching the game. Hopefully it goes well for the Tigers, and maybe we'll see you next week. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
War Eagle. And again, the ball game coming up tomorrow at 3:15 Central Time. We'll have the game. We'll have the pregame for you at 2:45 Central Time right here on FM Talk 106.5. So make your plans to be with us. If you're at work, don't have a TV, turn on the radio or the internet and join us here on FM Talk 106.5. Again, the game 2:45, the pregame tomorrow, and 3:15, the tip-off between Auburn and Yale. Okay, we're going to switch gears a little bit in the next segment, talk some college football, some Auburn spring football with Stu Donald, and wanted to hear a little bit from Coach Freeze, first of all, about what he's expecting in the next couple of weeks. The Tigers are about halfway through with spring practice, with A-Day coming on April 6th this year. And he was asked at the press conference earlier this week what he wants to see in the next 2 weeks in Auburn spring football.
Relentless effort on defense, and DJ's demanding that, and boy, he holds them accountable. He charts every one of them and every loaf, and the way we finish and the leverage on the ball. It was it the right leverage? And you know, we're not tackling to the ground a lot, but man, if a running back is in the open field, the leverage, let's don't be lazy on the leverage, man. Use your sideline and keep your pads in the right spot and your head in the right spot. Love to see them keep getting after the football. And then offensively, man, staying out of negative plays and taking care of the football. Those are the things that if we can stay on schedule, I think we'll be an effective offense. So starting today, we've got a couple good periods of some second down competition and even some drives today that you'd love to see us stay out of those negative plays. By us recognizing what the defense should do and knowing what the answer is to stay out of the negativity, getting the protection set right from our quarterback's perspective, and then our running backs picking up the blitzes correctly, our receivers, you know, running the correct route. All of those things keep you out of negative plays, so that's what I would hope to see this week us improve on.
All right, the thoughts of Coach Hugh Freeze this week talking about spring football, and we're going to pick up on those comments in the next segment, as I mentioned, as Stu Donald joins us for a little bit of football conversation. Glad you're with us on a Thursday night. Tiger Talk Overtime here on FM Talk 106.5. Again, Auburn basketball tomorrow at 2:45 Central Time right here, and we'll be back with Stu Donald to talk a little football in just a minute. Stay right here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Wiltu, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Time to talk some Auburn spring football, as the Tigers are about halfway through practice. And Stu Donald is joining us now from the Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu show. And Stu, always good to have you with us. How is everything going?
Doing great right now. I'm loving this spring weather. How about you?
Yeah, it's getting a little bit warmer out there. We still have a few 30s and 40s, but that's kind of my weather, so I won't complain.
Yeah, same here.
When we heard from Hugh Freeze at the end of last segment, he was talking about that class of 24, and that seems to be what is really catching his eye, Stu, in the spring practice at Auburn. We heard from Bryce Kane out of Baker High School a little bit earlier. Of course, everybody likes to talk about Cam. And all the guys from 24, the guys that are there early, have you heard anything? What are you hearing? And what are you seeing from spring practice so far?
Looks like a lot of these freshman defensive linemen are going to get some early playing time. And that's good and bad. They're not ready, probably, for the rigors of the SEC. They'll probably perform well up until about game 8 or 9, and that's kind of when freshmen hit the wall. But it's good that they're good enough to be in that two rotation already. I think we're probably going to hit the portal for some more experienced guys, but Amaris Williams, from what I understand, is just tearing it. All the new guys on the defensive line, Blaylock, all of them, and one I'm hearing, are looking great.
Yeah, and it seems like the edge guys are playing well also. McLeod is having a good spring, and we need a little more depth there. I know you like to talk about the big guys up front on offense too, and you talked about them a little bit in the last show or two, but Auburn's going to be, I think, improved in 2024 on the offensive line.
Oh, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And think about it, it's not just the starting five. We're too deep at all five positions now. The things we're hearing coming out of camp about the backup left tackle, Tyler, drawing a blank to the last name, and then on the other side, backing up Tutal, that they're there, they're solid. And if there's one thing we've never had a shortage of, it's good guard play. We've had good guards. We just haven't had any tackles the last few years. So, you know, we got a starting left tackle that moved into left guard where the NFL projects him to play. So that's an upgrade. Connor Liu, second year as a starter, is going to be a beast. We got three different guys that could start at right tackle, with Wright apparently being the healthiest he's been since he's been at Auburn. And then Tutal with a backup. I mean, we're night and day from where we were 2 years ago.
Yeah. What do you make, just listening to Coach Freeze the other day at his press conference, he didn't really mention a lot about the quarterbacks, and we've only had a few days of practice, but he seemed to indicate that Peyton was out in front, which is where he should be, I guess, at this point, and the other three guys were a little trailing him just a little bit. But what do you think about the decision-making process there? Where does Coach Freeze want to be at the end of spring practice when we get to A-Day there?
Where he wants to be and where he will tell the public we are probably two different things.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, all intents and purposes, it looks like Holden Gerner is headed for being a third-string quarterback. But if you come out and say that, chances are he's hitting the portal.
Yeah. And he might anyway.
Right. And he might anyway. And I wouldn't blame him. He's a tremendous talent, but he's maybe not suited for what we do here at Auburn. And I'd like to see him succeed. I'd like it if he succeeded at Auburn, but I want him to succeed wherever he can succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, Baby Goat is just, he's putting a little heat on Peyton. Not a lot of heat yet, because Peyton's just got, you know, 4 years now of experience, you know, 4 spring trainings. And, you know, we keep looking at his numbers last year. Well, his numbers were pretty much what they were at Mississippi State if you look at completion percentage. So if he throws the ball 100 more times at Auburn, like he did in Mississippi State, that's another 1,000 yards passing.
Yeah. At Michigan State, you mean?
Right, Michigan State. Ah, they're interchangeable.
Yeah, and you're talking about Walker White, of course, the young guy that has come in for spring practice a little bit early. And you're right.
He needed it.
Yeah. it seems like it'll definitely help in the fall. But like you said, I think Coach Freeze doesn't want to say too much about him, because obviously he's physically already there where he should be a quarterback. He's got the arm. It's just a matter of him catching onto the offense, which, from everything we hear about Walker White, won't take too long.
Right. But he's also got his head swimming right now. This is his first semester in college, his first semester in college football, his first spring camp. There's a lot going through this. I remember my freshman year of college at a JUCO in marching band, and my head was swimming for the first semester. You know, so the reality is, he's what, 18-year-old kid?
Yeah.
at a big time university under a big spotlight, it's okay to swim a little bit mentally.
Yeah.
There's nothing, it just means you're human.
And we really have, I know we've talked about this before, we have those first two or three or four games in the 24 season to kind of figure this thing out. But
I like what Bo Nix told him. He said, in retrospect, you're much better off redshirting your freshman year as a quarterback.
Yeah.
That was good advice from somebody who went down the exact same road some people are trying to push Walker down at the exact same school where it happened before.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out because we're going to need improved quarterback play this coming season for sure. But, hey, I wanted to ask you about some things that are in the news lately as far as the SEC and the Big Ten and the ACC. We heard the news about Clemson filing suit against the ACC. Florida State has already done that. What do you see in that scenario for college football in the next 3 or 4 years? We've got Texas and Oklahoma coming in. Are those guys on the radar of the SEC? Are they on the radar of the Big Ten, both? Or what are you thinking right now?
I think they're pretty much presenting themselves as free agents. And Florida State and Clemson would perfectly complete a power conference for the SEC. And I have wanted a move to power conferences since the 80s. My whole way of looking at it is, there's no such thing as a mid-major. You're either major or you're mid. And as much as I like teams like Middle Tennessee State, you know, or Arkansas State, they shouldn't be on our schedule or anyone else's. They don't belong on this level until they earn it. And my whole idea is you have 60 teams on Division I, and they only played those 60 teams. There is no drop into a lower level for homecoming. But every 5 years, you look at those 60 teams and the consistent five worst teams, you boot them down to the second level, and the consistent five best teams on that lower level, you promote them. That gives everybody a chance to be in those top 60, and the only thing that keeps you out of it is your performance.
Interesting. Stu Donnell, thanks for joining us to talk some Auburn spring football and college football tonight. Always appreciate Stu being with us. We'll keep an eye on how things shake out as far as the transformation of college football and the playoff system and all that. And, of course, spring football coming up on April 6th is the A-Day game. We'll be following spring football all the way up until A-Day for you. All right, don't forget the game tomorrow at 2:45, the pregame, and 3:15 is tip time right now. Until next week, Doug Holton, War Eagle, everybody. Let's see if the Tigers can get through this first weekend. Good night.